Today we're going to look at a magnificent passage from the writings of Paul in Romans chapter 7, and I'm going to start in verse 12. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. You know, throughout the history of Christianity, there's been this movement to suggest that all a person really needs to make it into heaven is a really good positive influence. The earliest major proponent of this theory was a renegade monk by the name of Pelagius, who started to suggest that just the knowledge and the constant awareness of how good God was would help us turn our lives around and make us determined to repair our sinful hearts. And while there's truth to the idea that God's goodness will make us love Him more, and while there's truth behind the suggestion that knowing God will make us hate sin and want it removed from our lives, it isn't enough. You'll notice that in the passage we just read, Paul points out twice that he realized just how good God is. Where does he say that? He points it out when he says that the law is good, and the law is simply a picture of the perfect character of God. Essentially, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 7 that he knows God is good and perfect and holy. And at the same time, he weeps over the fact that Paul himself is none of those things. A little later on in the same passage, here's what he says. This is found in Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Do you see it? Paul says that he knows God is good, and his heart longs to be more like God. In fact, he delights in the law. But at the same time, there's this other principle at work in his life, another law, he calls it, that keeps him captive to sin. I don't know if you've ever struggled with the same thing, but you wouldn't be human if you haven't. You know what's good, and you long to do it. And you know which parts of your life are not in harmony with the will of God, and you want to fix them. But it seems like you're irresistibly drawn back to the same destructive behaviors over and over again. So what's the solution? If you can't simply know enough to get better, or want God enough to get better, what are you supposed to do? How do you proceed if it's not enough to recognize the holiness of God compared to your own sinfulness? Well, here's the answer. Straight from the pen of the apostle at the beginning of verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There it is, in black and white. On your own, you're never going to make it. But with Jesus Christ, you can't possibly lose. I like the way one Christian writer puts it when she says this. Education, culture, the exercise of the will, human effort, all have their proper sphere. But here they are powerless. They may produce an outward correctness of behavior, but they cannot change the heart. They cannot purify the springs of life. There must be a power working from within, a new life from above, before men can be changed from sin to holiness. That power is Christ. His grace alone can quicken the lifeless faculties of the soul and attract it to God, to holiness. If you really think about it, if you long for holiness, it's a good sign God's already at work in your life. And really, that's why throwing yourself on the mercies of Christ is always a better way to live.